improves heart health and brain function. It boosts your immune system and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or BioSuperfood@hotmail.com. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Here at the network, and this morning we're going to be talking with Buck Keeley about learning how to garden. And I tell you, I've learned a lot from Buck just talking to him during the course of the month on all of our public, all of our various stations and networks. But basically, you know, most of us are totally dependent upon going to the grocery store and being able to get our food, and it's wonderful. And as long as we can do that, why, most of us are going to continue doing that. We're putting in a garden again this year, though. We've been getting our soil prepared. Why? Because we think that there could be some dramatic changes in the structure of our society. We have read Agenda 21. Oh, we have studied Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21? It's the master plan for the 21st century, put out by the people in what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, CFR, Trilateralist Bilderbergers. It calls for a wretching transformation of society. Those are not my words. They're are their words. They want to restructure society. They want to remake man, at least those that survived the period of coming turmoil and chaos, and people can't believe that could ever happen here in America. But I would simply point out that if God is just, why should we be surprised if he'd bring judgment upon this country? We don't talk about that in church anymore. We don't talk about fear of the Lord. We don't talk about a lot of things that they used to talk about in churches. Because you see, the other side, the wicked people, have changed the music and the message of our churches, so our ministers are not warning us about the fact that when a nation turns against God, God turns against that nation, and terrible things can happen. And one of them would be the very breakdown of the social structure of our society, and I fear that that is what is coming. And certainly you're going to have to be thinking about how you are going to take care of your family, how are you going to feed them? And certainly it's not that difficult. People who have their own gardens, vegetable gardens, not only enjoy it, it's healthy, but it gives them a good source of food. And with that as a background, Buck Keeley, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you, my friend. It's always good to talk to you.
Well, now, when do we start putting in our garden?
Well, you're putting in your garden year-round. It's just where you're putting it. I've heard an interesting statistic today that the sale of personal greenhouses has increased around 20% this past year, as people are seeing the importance of providing a part of their own sources of food, that they see the importance of having that readily available. So the people are seeing that food production at home is possible, and it's not impossible that it can be done year-round. So the whole process of planting is something that goes on year-round. Now, this time of the year, we're entering into the early springtime, where there are certain plants that can be put out now into the environment, depending on where you live, how early. But certainly things like your green peas that everybody enjoys, the early spring peas, the blue bush peas, the arrow peas, the early Alaska peas, they can go out weeks and weeks and weeks before frost. As soon as your garden is able to be worked and it's dry enough to plant the seed, those seed will come up when the combination of temperature and moisture is right, and they'll be one of the first risers out of the garden as far as production of sustainable food. But along with that, there's a lot of early crops that you can be putting out now that 2 to 3 weeks before frost, and that would be things like your radishes and lettuce and the greens that you like, the collard greens and the mustard greens, and those things can go out early and get ready to go. And at the same time, if you're one of these folks that's got a greenhouse like you or others who have purchased them, or those who are interested in them, and like most things that we tend to make them more complicated than they are, all a greenhouse is some mechanism to catch solar radiation in order to elevate temperatures and protect from frost. And that could be as simple as row hoops, where you take PVC and you bend it in a hoop and put it in the ground, and you stretch plastic over it, and you're stretching out the amount of time that you can actually be in the garden protecting from frost and adding extra heat. Or as complicated as a dedicated structure with an external heat source. So greenhousing now is becoming a more and more part of gardening, as people realize that the quality of the plants that they're putting in the ground is determined not only by where they get them, but how they're grown. That when you are producing your own food, you know exactly what goes into it. If you go down to the big box store or even to the local nursery and buy plants that have been grown in a nursery, chances are that they've been subjected to artificial fertilizers and so forth, or chemicals to make them be uniform. In production food, whether it's in the plants that go in the ground or the plants that you eat, one of the things that growers have to do is keep everything uniform and have them coming off at a certain time. So what greenhouses will do, or nurseries will do, is they'll apply chemicals to the plants to either encourage the growth or to subordinate the growth. If they're growing too fast, they'll slow the growth down in order to have them come off at the right time to sell them in their market. When you're doing this yourself in your own greenhouse, whether it's one you've purchased or one you've built, or whether you're doing it on the windowsill of your house, you're controlling what goes into those plants. So start growing your plants indoors now for those that will be planted after last frost date. If you're in zone 8 or higher, this is the time to be getting your tomato plants planted, and you need to have those out 6 to 8 weeks before last frost date. It's time to get your peppers started indoors 6 to 8 weeks before last frost date. Time to get your onions. The best way to plant onions is not to buy sets from the nursery, nor is it to sow seed in the ground. The best way to plant onion is to sow them on a tray inside, and when they get about 6 inches tall, cut off a third of the tops and then transplant them in the ground. And that way you're not wasting seed by sowing them loosely, and you're having to jump on it so that you can get them out and have larger onions. Particularly important for storage onions to get a head start on your onion sets. So there's a lot of things right now that's going on that you could be doing in your garden to get ready, but you can't do anything unless you have seed. An old farmer friend of mine who's gone on to be with the Lord now once told me that seed is the cheapest thing that you buy when you garden, because if you have bad seeds, you have a bad garden, everything else is wasted. So make sure that you buy good quality seeds. Make sure that you buy heirloom open pollinated seeds, that if you want to, you can gather the seeds to replant them yourself and get good seeds. Get started gardening now.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, have a question or comment, our number is 877-254-7524. Give us a call. 877-254-7524.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Beth Messiah's Passover celebration will be celebrated Friday evening, April the 6th at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, I-25 and 120th Avenue in North Glen, Colorado. Your Passover entree this year is your choice of delicious lamb or turkey. So make your Passover plans and invite your friends and family. There will be tables at 10 available, so just tell Sharon when you make your reservation. Adult tickets are $32, children 10 to 12, $15, and children 6 to 9, $13. Children under 5 are free. Call 1-800-205-6245 to make your Passover reservations now, or mail your check made payable to Beth Messiah Congregation to P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534. Market attention, Sharon. Remember, the deadline is March the 23rd, so make your reservations early and we'll see you at Passover 2012.
Well, and here at our network, I guess this morning, is Buck Keeley. We're talking about learning to plant a vegetable garden, and certainly it's time then to get those tomatoes in the ground. And Sydney, when we plant our tomatoes, if we actually have tomato plants, do we want to fertilize those when we put them in the ground? Do we need a specific tomato fertilizer? You know, I've seen these at the stores. They have specifically for tomatoes. Is that important, or certainly is just the standard fertilizer that you provide, or you can get it at a good nursery, is that adequate for fertilizing the tomatoes and peppers when we put them in?
Well, as we've discussed before, there is a two-pronged approach to growing your plants. One is augmenting and building your soil, and the other is fertilizing. The more that you've augmented and built your soil, the less fertilization you're going to need in order for those plants to not only be sustainable but produce good fruit. So you ought to be year-round building your soil. That is through using compost, where you take organic material, carbon and nitrogen. Carbon is brown, nitrogen is green. It's a simple formula. Remember, two parts carbon, one part nitrogen. So this summer, as you're doing your grass clippings, and if you pile them up and or put them in a bag, you'll notice they'll start to stink really bad. And what's happened is they're decomposing and they put off an odor. But if you mix those with two parts carbon, there's no smell to it, and they'll make a good soil. So composting is the start on building the soil. Using manures, once again, let me warn your listeners, do not put green manure on your garden. The only exception to that rule would be rabbit manure. Do not put green manure on your garden. That there's a real danger of pathogens being passed into the plants, either by transference from the soil to the plant or from your hands to the plant. So make sure that it's well aged if you're going to put your on your garden this time of the year manures from cows or horses. Ideally, what you want to do with manure is compost it with the rest of your compost and build your soil. And so you start by building your soil, and you do that year round. And as springtime comes, you use that compost to augment your soil as for weed control. As you plant your plants, they grow up. Rather than be out there spraying some kind of chemical on it or out there trying to hold the weeds up, put an inch or two of compost on top of those weeds after you pull them, and it'll smother any other seed from growing up. So that's the use of compost. Now, fertilizer, maybe it would do well for us just take a moment and talk about how the plants actually get their nutrients. They get their nutrients from two sources. One is through sun, through photosynthesis, and the second is through the root system, where it takes the nutrients from the ground. So through the photosynthesis, the nutrients that come up through the plant root system are turned into sugars that goes back into the roots and grows the plant. So it's a symbiotic relationship. What comes into those root systems has to be microbial pieces that, if you think about what that an infant can eat versus what an adult can eat, is the ability of that nutrient to be absorbed into the system. So a baby, God has designed a child to have all the nutrients it needs off its mother's milk as it's a child, and it's designed to be absorbed into their body in a way that they can handle it. Well, it's the same thing with your plant systems, that if you just throw down chunks of manure on the ground, your plant can't ingest those. They have to be broken down, and that's where microbial and microorganisms takes place. And so when you think about fertilizing your plants, that the smaller the particulate matter is, the more nutrients that plant gets. So if you think about taking compost, the first thing that happens is that the bigger insects come in, the bigger worms and grubs, and they slash and they hack and they produce a smaller amount. Where earthworms come in, if you'll notice, if you've ever bought or produced worm castings, they're very fine. They're much more fine than even coffee grounds. And that's because the digestive system of the worm breaks it down to very, very small pieces. But what takes over then is microbials. That when you have microorganisms now that ingest this broken down product, it gets even smaller, and that's what goes into the plant. So if you take something like worm castings that's been broken down many, many times and now it's come through the worm, and you introduce that into some water with a little bit of molasses, maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons of worm castings and a tablespoon of molasses, and you put that in a gallon of water, and you aerate it by pouring it back and forth several times a day, what happens is the microorganisms, the microbials, are encouraged to grow. The sugar feeds them, and they eat the worm castings and break it down to very, very small particulates. And after 24 hours, that worm casting that you put in there just has to dissolve. It's not that you're diluting it. The microorganisms has eaten that and reproduced out of them even a smaller product for organic matter. Then you put that on your plants, and immediately the roots can ingest that. It doesn't have to wait to be broken down. It can immediately ingest that and go into the fruits. So when do you fertilize was the question that was asked, and this is kind of a rant and a long ways around getting to that answer. When you're transplanting, you want to fertilize. If you're using, like, our solid fertilizer that's made out of organic material, when you put the plant down, put a handful around the plant, and if that plant is healthy in time, the water will break that down. The microorganisms will break that down and go into the root systems. If you want to advance that plant and give it kind of a B12 shot, if you will, to give it a little energy, use a tea that I just described and put on it, and that'll give it a good jump out of the ground of the transplant. Transplanting your plants is hard on the plant. That will help them be quicker to recover and give them a more healthy start. And then just as the fruit begin to come on the plant, if you have a continual bearing fruit, like a tomato plant that bears for maybe 4 to 6 weeks, that immediately when they're putting on fruit, fertilize it. And then fertilize it again in about two weeks. That what that will do is it will prolong the production because you're providing more nutrients to that plant. It's not exhausting itself producing the fruit. And secondly, it'll produce larger fruit. The size of that fruit is going to be determined on how much nutrients you can draw from the soil. The root system on that plant is extremely important. That most people overwater their plants and it discourages good root growth. Make sure that when you plant a tomato plant, that you pull off the bottom two sets of leaves, you plant those underground to where those two sets of leaves were. It'll encourage more roots to grow on that plant where those leaf gnomes were at. And make sure that it gets good hard watering. And then don't water for several days, 2-3 days. When you dig down 2 or 3 inches in the soil and it's dry, water it again. And what that causes the plant to do is to grow deep roots, and that will get more nutrients. Things like carrots. A lot of people always are fussing over the size of their carrots, about the condition their soil causing their carrots to be short. Short carrots comes from overwatering. That root is not encouraged to grow down. That taproot's not encouraged to grow down and get water. It's staying close to the surface because that's where it's getting its water. So make sure when you water, you don't overwater. You want to water in the morning is the best time, before the evening, the afternoon comes over. You want to water deep and not often. And by doing that, you'll encourage a good root system. And then when you fertilize your plants, that fertilizer as it goes into the ground is not just catching the first inch where those roots are. It'll go down 6 inches where there's more roots. And so you're getting more effect out of less fertilizer than if you're growing the shallow root systems.
Well, when you say don't overwater, are you talking about watering every 3 or 4 days, something like that?
Well, it depends on the time of the year and the heat and the condition of your soil. That there's not a standard where you say, well, water every 3 days. That if you have really sandy, loamy soil and you don't have organic material in it, when you water, that water's just going to zip and go right straight through. If you have a heavy clay soil and you don't have organic matter in it, you're going to pour the water on it. It's just going to stay on top. It's going to run off. It's not going to go down. You could water, you know, every day and never get water deep enough into a clay soil unless you have organic matter into it. And then, of course, you know, in early springtime when you have 70-degree weather versus in the late summertime where you have 90-degree weather will determine on how that you water. You can buy $4 or $5 at a garden supply house a moisture meter that you can stick into the ground down 3 or 4 inches deep, and it'll tell you what condition the moisture is in it. And that's good and well. We use those in the greenhouse because we're using shallow containers, and watering is very important where we don't let things get too dry or we don't overwater because that causes disease and root rot. But in the garden, I don't use a meter. What I do is I just take a little spade, hand spade, and I go down 2 or 3 inches. And if the dirt feels, the soil feels moist, then I don't water. If it doesn't feel moist, then I water, and I water heavy so that water goes down. And what you're actually doing, if you've got good soil, you're building a moisture basis in the soil that although an inch of it may appear to be dry, you break that top inch open, and down 2 or 3 inches, there's lots of moisture in there. And so you water based upon the condition of your soil and based upon the condition of the environment. And one of the reasons why you work so hard to build good soil, the reason why you're augmenting your soil with manures and with compost, is to create not only nutrients in the soil, but a good quality of soil that has the ability to hold moisture, that it doesn't either go straight down like in a sandy loam or it doesn't float off the top in a heavy clay. And so by providing that environment where moisture is held, you'll actually use less water than you were before, and that water will have more of an effect because it's being held in around the root systems of the plant. I hope that didn't over-explain it.
No, you did fine. Basically, of course, I guess is Buck Keeley. Buck, I want you to get your telephone number out. I want you to get out your web page and tell people what the products are that you offer.
I'll be glad to do that. Our phone number is toll-free, and you can dial 1-888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132. And if you have Internet availability, you can go to the World Wide Web and type into the address bar, seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog, that's seedcatalog.com, and that'll take you to our website. And when you get there, like via the World Wide Web, you're going to come to a lot of interesting information about heirloom seeds, about the genetic modification movement, and the importance of sustainable seeds. But you'll see on the front page, Shop for Seeds. That'll take you inside our store. And inside our store, you're going to find that we have a lot of information that'll help you with your planting, with your harvesting, with the understanding what the plants are. But also we'll sell in the store seeds. They're all heirloom, non-GMO seeds, all heirloom seeds that are open-air pollinated. They're sustainable and renewable, that you can gather the seeds from all of these, and they'll produce the same product that you grew. And you'll find also in there that we have these packaged for you to help you with the purchase of the seeds. We have what we call our value packs. In the value packs, that you're going to find things like a large backyard garden or a small city garden or an urban garden for those that are container gardening. We have our tomato and pepper and herb lovers packs. And those are all packed up with a variety of different seeds. And then when you click on them, you'll see what's there. But when you buy them in our value packs, they're about 20% less than if you bought each packaged seed separate. And then we also have seed banks. This is for the storage and survival of seeds, that we build two basic seed banks. One is a personal and one is a basic seed bank. The basic seed bank will plant about an acre of vegetables and grains, and the personal about a half acre. And we'll also provide a build-your-own survival seed bank. If you buy more than $50 worth of seeds, we'll pack them in a survival seed bank. Now, what a survival seed bank is we take the individual packs of seeds that are in glassine packages. We put them in a Mylar 4.0 millimeter Mylar metal bag, and we seal that. And then we put that bag inside of a PVC pipe, and we seal that pipe. So so it could be placed in a freezer or dug in a hole in the backyard and maintain the integrity of the seeds for many, many years. And so everybody ought to have a seed bank for the just in case. And then we also sell soil augmentations and fertilizers. We sell what we call Uncle Buck's worm poo. What that is worm castings that we sell in on the website. Those are actually on special this month. Again, we're selling the worm castings to help you make your teas or to put directly to the soil. We also have Uncle Buck's fertilizers, an all-organic fertilizer that's made out of bone meal and cotton, seed meal and lime and calcium and all the ingredients that your plants will need. And then we'll also just sell you a single pack of seeds. You buy one pack of seeds, we'll sell them to you, that whatever you want. And we also have a flat rate shipping that a lot of web stores will kill you on shipping, that our flat rate shipping, no matter how little or how much that you buy, is $4.95. And that covers basically the packing of the seed for the labor, and we pay for the shipping. So that's the thrust of the store. Come in and take a look, and we'll be glad to help you out. Give us a call or go to the website and order up your order.
All right. Again, the number, if you have a question for Buck, 877-254-7524. 1-877-254-7524. If you have a question, give us a call. It's important to start thinking differently, because the world we've known, I fear, soon.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
The United States Constitution is a joke to politicians in Washington, D.C. Visit America527.org to help defend America from her enemies, foreign and domestic. We believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We believe in liberty. We believe that only patriots can keep liberty alive. Work with America527.org to save liberty in America. Visit America527.org today.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
To some, a truck is just a vehicle, nothing more. Steel, chrome, hydraulics, and combustion. But when you look at these things and find inspiration, when you put them together with passion and integrity, then engineering comes to life. Cold sheet metal develops a soul, and pride, sweat, and commitment turn a truck into something more. A Ram truck. Ram heavy duty. Ram 1500. The outdoorsman. And our most luxurious truck ever, the Laramie Longhorn. They're not just trucks, they're Ram trucks. Guts. Glory. Ram.
Ram is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Dan here at the American Network. I guess it's Money Cut Buck Keeley, our telephone number. If you have a question or comment about growing things in the garden, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Buck, you've talked in the past about aging manure. We have one of our gentlemen who works here and helps us has brought down some pails of manure. They're about 6 months old and been laying in the garden. Is that sufficient aging, or should we wait another 6 months before we actually utilize that?
Yeah, more than a time factor on is what the conditions were that it was aged in. And the way you know is the consistency of the manure. If you break it open and it's still green on the inside, I mean, if the manure, when it's gathered up, if it's gathered up while it's wet, that it'll be in clods or balls, or if it's gathered up out of the field in the paddies, if you break them open and it's still green on the inside, it's too new to use. To age the manure simply is basically what happens, and it's really back to composting, is that the animal eats the organic material, the grass or the weeds or the feed, whatever it's eating. It goes through its system and it breaks it down. That's the first level of breaking it down. And then it's expelled on the ground. And when it's expelled on the ground through the large animal, it's been partially digested, and there's a lot of nutrients still available in that. And what happens is that bacteria and pathogens will start to eat that. And you want to make sure that it gets beyond that green stage to where it's brown all the way through. And then you don't have the pathogens that's in there. They've died off, or they've digested what they're going to, and they're no longer evident in there. And the microbials take over and start to take and break it down. So there's that in-between stage from the time that the animal expels it till the time that it's cured that there's a danger of pathogens. So what you want to do is just make sure it's brown all the way through and it's not moist. If you put water on it's moist, that's something different. But if it's in a state that you're getting it and it's still moist, that's a good sign that it shouldn't be used yet. Or if it's still green, if it's not brown on the inside all the way through. So that's kind of a way of knowing how to use it aged. And there's a lot of places that sell aged manure, that a lot of your dairies and a lot of people around who do composting will get that manure and they'll set it to the side for 6 months to a year, and then they sell it as aged, manure, and it makes it a lot easier to use it. But if you have any question, put it on your compost pile and let it age out there. Just, you don't want to subject yourself to passing an E. coli or some kind of pathogen that you're going to introduce to your food to make yourself or others sick.
All right, fine. Well, that certainly helps me to get some idea what to do. Well, certainly, now, what about the seeds? We get our seeds. Does it matter how far in we plant them? Should we be planting our seeds in perhaps little cardboard containers, eggshell holders, things like that, or should we plant them directly into the ground?
Well, once again, the depth of the seed, there's three questions in that, and I'll try to break them down. The question on how deep to plant the seeds is determined by the seed itself, and a good rule of thumb, the shallower the planting, the smaller the seed. So like a carrot seed, they're very, very small. And so you want to plant them very shallow. And a good rule of thumb on the depth of the seed is twice the thickness of the seed. So you have a carrot seed that's a few millimeters thick, then you just scratch out a very shallow trench in your ground that you prepared, and you put the seed in there and then cover them up lightly. The importance of not burying them too deep is the deeper that seed is planted, the further it has to come to get to photosynthesis. And what will happen, that seed will germinate when the temperature and the soil is the right temperature and the moisture is the right content. That seed will germinate, and it's got this energy stored in it that will only last so long to get it to the top of the ground. If you think about an egg, that a chicken lays an egg, and inside of that egg is all the nutrients that is needed for that chicken to be born. But the minute those nutrients run out and that chicken comes out of the shell, it has to have a source of life for nutrients. And that's the same thing with the seed. It has everything in it that is necessary for that seed to grow and to reach that point where the colloidal leaves come on. If it's buried too deep, it'll exhaust that energy before it can get to its source of strength. So you want to make sure that you don't plant your seed too deep. And once again, the smaller the seed, the shallower you plant them, And a good rule of thumb is twice the thickness of the seed and the depth of the soil. And second to that, you want to make sure that you have the nutrients available once that plant comes out of the ground. I had one of our folks that use our seed call me up and said that I've got my tomato plants and the true leaves have come on now, but they're turning brown and yellow. They're not mature. It looks like they're going to die. So I asked him a few questions, and come to find out, he planted his seeds into germination soil, which is okay. And what a germination soil is, it's basically a sterilized soil that's a womb for a seed. The seed doesn't need any nutrients. It just needs a womb. And so when you buy germination soil at the store, it's going to be void of nutrients. It's going to be sterile where there's no pathogens in it. You put your seed in there, and everything that seed needs to reach to the first true leaves is in the seed itself. So they grow good and they look good. Well, when he transplanted those seeds, once he got the true leaves, he transplanted them into the same soil that has no nutrients. So now the plant is starving to death because it has nothing to eat. And so you want to make sure that these plants, once they grow out of the ground, they have nutrients. And so if you're planting them in containers, the second question, should you be starting them in containers? Make sure that you start them in a good germination soil so that it has the right environment for that seed to germinate and produce the plant to the first true leaves, then transplant it into a nutrient-rich soil. And you can provide that soil by very simply using, we talked about the worm castings and the molasses tea. By putting that into the soil, that whatever you're planting it into will provide those nutrients. And make sure the soil that you're transplanting into from when those seeds produce the first true leaves is a loose soil. You don't want a tight, compact soil because it'd make it difficult for the roots to grow. And if you're planting tomato plants or pepper plants, you want to provide now a source of light as well, either in a greenhouse, or providing light artificially through like a shop light. That if you're going to provide artificial light through a shop light, make sure you have that light right down on top of the plants so that they don't stretch to get the ray spectrum they need to grow. And then once those plants get up to be about 6 or 8 inches tall, that's a good size for transplant for tomatoes or peppers. You don't want the large plants in the 1 gallon pots that are 3 foot tall. You want a short, compact plant about 6 to 8 inches high. And as soon as the last frost is over, you go out into the garden and you plant them in the garden, and when you transplant them, you want to feed them good again to help with that shock with some tea that you've made out of worm castings and the molasses. And then make sure, like we talked about before, you don't overwater them, but that first watering, you want to make sure that you really saturate the ground good, that you don't want any oxygen remaining in the soil around the roots. What happens is the root will prune themselves with oxygen. So if you don't have a good planting where you've got the surrounding root system completely in soil that's been packed around the roots, oxygen will kill the root system. And by doing that, you'll get a good plant.
All right. Well, we have a caller. Who's?
My name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got two questions.
Hang on there, Mike. Hang on. We'll be back in just a moment here with Buck Keeley.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
If drinking the purest natural artesian water is important to you, then thirst no longer. Fountain of Health, the nation's best natural pure water source located south of Brighton, is tested monthly and free from any surface water contamination. Fountain of Health provides refreshing natural artesian water from the lower Arapaho Aquifer. Bring your sterilized container or buy them at Fountain of Health, 13185 Brighton Road. That's 13185 Brighton Road, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Check them out at www.fountainofhealth.cc.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, and here at the American Student Network, I guess this morning, Katie, we've got Mike calling in. Again, our number 877-254-7524 if you have a question. Hi, Mike, what are your questions?
Oh, okay, hi. The first one is, I've got about 5 gallons of horse molasses, and I was wondering, you were talking about mixing it with worm castings and stuff, but can I just put maybe water it down and pour it all over the soil before I turn the soil this spring? Would that be any benefit?
Well, I think I understood what you said, that you have about 5 gallons of horse manure.
No, 5 gallons of molasses.
5 gallons of molasses, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with it.
yeah, that it's wonderful for the soil. If you'll take about a gallon per 5 gallon mixture. Heat the water up so that it dissolves the sorghum molasses. That black syrup molasses that you have is the afterrun for when they make sugar. So it's full of food. So if you mix that up a gallon to 5 gallons in hot water so it dissolves it well, and just pour it out over your garden, what that'll induce is the food for these microbials to eat. And whatever you pour that over will become a food for these guys. So if you got any organic matter in your garden, that they'll start to chunk that down and make it into finer particulates. So, that's absolutely that. That's one of the things that we do is we use blackstrap molasses in the preparation of our soil to augment it.
I didn't know what to do with all this stuff. I thought I'd be able to use it for cooking, and it's too.
No, it's not cooking. you need to have a sorghum, not a blackstrap. But
yeah, it's pretty nasty.
It's got lots of nutrients in there. Put it on your garden; it'll love it.
Okay, great. And my other question was. What do you know about these gurney seeds? I keep getting their catalogs, and whenever I try and ask them if there's any GMO in their seeds, I can never get a straight answer.
Well, I'll give you a straight answer for vegetables. There, right now, there's only been one GMO seed for vegetables that's been sold to the public, and it's failed. Right now, there is no genetically modified seeds sold in the vegetable market to the home end user, but what we have is hyper-hybridized seed. And that's what most of the seeds you're going to get in these seed catalogs are. And the difference is what you want to ask them, are these seeds open pollinated? And what that means is the difference between having if you take your cow down and have it artificially inseminated, you're breeding out prey.
I understand. Well, they do advertise a lot of their stuff is hybridized, you know, and
right.
I'm trying to stay away from that. I'm trying to get all the hybrid, you know, I mean, heritage type seeding, but I've tried to ask them. I called them directly and asked them, and I got transferred around to a lot of people. And nobody would tell me a straight answer if there's any GMO or organism, or whatever you call it, in their seed product.
What,
you know,
but what's wrong with hybridized seeds? In other words, they're basically. Mating the various types.
I'll hang up and listen.
Maybe this would be a good teachable moment where we could talk about seed production.
Yeah.
That all seed somewhere along the way has cross-pollinated.
Right.
And that has brought out some good characteristics and some bad characteristics. That when you take something like the Arkansas Traveler tomato, it didn't just come into being where it was all by itself. What happened was that plants got together, they cross-pollinated, and it produced this fruit. Back in the early 1800s, somebody in this cross-pollination that happened in nature saw this wonderful fruit, and so they saved the seeds from it, and they replanted those seeds. And when they replanted those seeds, they didn't put them around the other parents to where it would cross-pollinate with them. And so they kept this breed all the way through. So it was actually a part of open pollinization crossbreeding, which is fine. That's a wonderful thing. It produces wonderful fruits. But what happens today?
What fruit are you talking about specifically?
Vegetable. Say that again.
What fruit or vegetable are you talking about?
The Arkansas Traveler is a tomato.
Okay.
And just use that as an example of open pollinization, how it came into being, where there was this tomato that they named the Arkansas Traveler was from open air pollinization, to where the tomatoes cross-pollinated and they produced this tomato. And so an heirloom seed is someone who saw the benefits of this cross-pollinization and this wonderful fruit it produced, and so they started saving the seeds. To qualify as an heirloom seed, the seed has to predate 1928. Some will use 1932. But what happened in the early 1900s, the 1930s, is they started laboratory hibernation. And what they did there is this is closed pollinization, to where they breed out certain characteristics in a plant. And when they do this, they take one plant, a parent plant on the male side, a parent plant on the female side, and they produce a product out of those two that when they do that, it has this very unique characteristic. For an example, when you go to the grocery store and you see the red tomatoes there, they're all uniform. They all look the same. They all have the same consistency, but they can't reproduce because you have to have that same genetic parent on both sides, male and female, to produce that. And those parents are bred in a laboratory under conditions to where they produce this certain fruit. So if you take this fruit from the grocery store, save the seeds out of it, and plant it, you're going to get characteristics that are dissimilar to what you planted. You may not get any fruit at all, or what you get will be inedible because it's been controlled in its hyper-hybridization. But on the other hand, if you have for example, once again, the Arkansas Traveler tomato, and you put it in your garden, and it pollinates, even if it cross-pollinates with a Cherokee Purple or something else, you're going to wind up with the same fruit in that seed because it's not been hyper-hibernated. And so that an open-pollinated plant produces the same fruit. But if you get a laboratory-created plant where they grow plants for seed specifically from two genetically different plants, then you come up with something that can't repopulate itself. And maybe an example in nature would be when you made a horse and a donkey together, and then you get an animal that can't reproduce. It's not genetically modified, but it's not natural in the course of what happens, that when those two breed, they produce something that does not have the genetic traits of reproduction. And so that's what happens in the hyperhybridization, is that it produces something that can't reproduce, or if it does reproduce, it's not what it was. It's a deformation of that. So it's important that if you're going to buy seeds for sustainability, that you buy open pollinated. That means it happens God's way. It happens in nature, the way that God plans for it to happen, and it reproduces itself. But if it's hyper-hybridization, it will not.
We're out of time. One more time, your telephone number.
Our phone number is 1-888-866-9132.
1-888-866-9132. Hang on, we'll get to it one more time after the break.
Take care, doctor. Bye.
Beth Messiah's Passover celebration will be celebrated Friday evening, April the 6th at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, I-25 and 120th Avenue in North Glen, Colorado. Your Passover entree this year is your choice of delicious lamb or turkey. So make your Passover plans and invite your friends and family. There will be tables of 10 available, so just tell Sharon when you make your reservation. Adult tickets are $32, children 10 to 12, $15, and children 6 to 9, $13. Children under 5 are free. Call 1-800-205-6245 to make your Passover reservations now, or mail your check made payable to Beth Messiah Congregation to P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534. Market attention, Sharon. Remember, the deadline is March the 23rd, so make your reservations early, and we'll see you at Passover 2012.
Custom Cabinet Shop is a locally owned and operated family business since 1980. So if you want fair and reasonable prices, personalized service, and excellence in workmanship for your refacing, repair, installation, millwork, or remodeling projects for your home and business, Custom Cabinet Shop can do the job for you. Call now for your free quote and on-site consultation, 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. So Custom Cabinet Shop can attend to your every woodworking need. Cabinets to fit your taste, furniture to fill your space, and shelves to store more. Gun racks for what you pack. High-end, low-end, repair, reface, remodel, or replace. Mantles, ceilings, or trim. Whatever you need. Don't overpay for in-house calls, design consultations, or repairs. Call for your free quote and a single on-site visit to get your project rolling now. That's Custom Cabinet Shop, 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook.
Well, I'm here at American Theater Network. And, Buck, before we let you go, let's get your web page and your telephone number out one more time. Buck, are you there? Well, I guess we lost Buck. Anyway, if you need to get his material, you just go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look for Heirloom Seeds or Buck Keeley or the seed catalog, but I think it's under Heirloom Seeds. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and you can link directly to Buck and get his material. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we could sure use your help right about now, because we've had well, a lot of people are hurting and they're not buying large quantities of DVDs and other items that we carry, tape sets, videos, CD sets, books. We've got all sorts of books on every subject you could possibly want to, dealing with the conspiracy that controls the world today. The world is controlled by a group of evil and wicked men who have an agenda. They want to destroy contemporary civilization. They want a wretching transformation of society. They want to rule the world. And you say that really doesn't make any sense. Why would people want to destroy our civilization? Well, because they have a different world view. I mean, they believe there are too many people in the world. They believe the world would be much better off if we dramatically cut off the population. And so they're planning on new diseases. They're planning on famines. They're going to create wars. That's what this phony war with Iran is all about. That's why we've been over fighting for years over there with Iraq and Afghanistan. Totally unjustified wars, but it killed an awful lot of people. And you say, who would want to kill people? Well, that's why you need to hear my talk on planned population reduction. And they've already killed several billion people or prevented their birth going back to the beginning of the last century through the birth control programs that we instituted in Russia after the Russian Revolution. Yes, who do you think financed the Russian Revolution? Who do you think's financing the revolution that's going on in Syria today? Why, we are. I mean, it's Al-Qaeda's involved. We've got our troops over in Jordan and in Turkey training the troops and arming the Al-Qaeda forces behind the revolution in Syria. And, of course, we're already overthrown the government of Egypt and Tunisia and Libya. You have to understand, nothing is as it appears to be. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the dark secret, forbidden secret. You need to hear our DVD on the best enemies money can buy. My interview with Ambassador Dodd, pardon me, Ambassador Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba, at the time of the Cuban Revolution, when he tells you, we brought Fidel Castro to power. We knew he was a communist. And that is true. I mean, the Bay of Pigs invasion was designed to fail. Certainly, David Rockefeller's daughters go down regularly to visit Fidel. If you don't believe it, get David Rockefeller's memoirs, which we carry. Fidel comes up to visit with David Rockefeller. Why would David Rockefeller meet with Fidel Castro? I'm sure they sit and laugh at how stupid the American people are to believe there's a communist conspiracy. At number 1-800-544-8900.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at Amerifree.com.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse.